and preaching than I was too, but now I'm scareder. And more every day, I guess. I think about we Pentecostal folks and how much we've had that has been a blessing, and how few of us have been touched by tragedies. And I think sometimes we pass over the good things that we've enjoyed. I preached last night on the end of time, and a lot of those things I feel like are still going to happen. They say that all this was something that that happened in 72 A.D., but really John wrote Revelation 25 years after Titus overran Jerusalem. Some of those things still got to take place.
That's right.
Well, we overlook some of the things that the Lord's going to do someday. I feel like we're going to still see some bad things in this land. I want to be ready, don't you?
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
You read the newspapers, and of course, when you're not associated with a particular area, you just read it and sympathize with the poor people. You like I was the morning I read the news article about the train hitting the school bus in Rock Mart, Georgia, and killed 11 kids, lived within a matter of 2 miles, and I thought every house in that country, every house for 2 miles had lost a child. And I'd sit around and read newspaper articles every day, and finally it got on me so bad, right in the big old automobile dealership, I just began to cry like a baby. I thought such sadness, such horror. And we overlook the things that are so good to us. Back in October, you remember your morning paper read that there was a ferry that hit a tanker that hit a ferry down in Louisiana. And to you, that was just 78 people that died, but you didn't know anything about it. But Brother Rutledge, just in that summer, had preached in Aimwell, and a backslidden girl out of that church was on that ferry that morning. Just recently separated from her husband, just recently quit going to church. And that ferry caught them in the morning hour and tilted that, the freighter caught the ferry and tilted it over. And that young lady, whose family is filled with that church at Aimwell, she perished in that dark, watery grave. Well, Brother Charlie McKiffin, one of the finest preachers I've ever known, his son was backslidden, and he was on that ferry that morning.
Oh God.
And old big happy Charlie, I've been on his shoulders in the creek before playing. He was just a great big old giant. Mm-hmm. We all loved him, and there he was, out of the church, and died backslid.
Mm-hmm.
Three boys, the Harris brothers, all three of them, had just 3 weeks before had been followed around their house by Bruce Tucker, a young man from Tallulah, Louisiana. Bruce had been a long-haired, pill-popping, dope-smoking boy, and he had got filled with the Holy Ghost, and he went back to these fellows that were all three backsliders and told them that they needed to get in the church, and they said, oh, we are someday. And 3 weeks later, all three of them riding that ferry across that road, that river to Destrehan, going to work, and they all three perished.
Oh, God.
That's all I know about five backslidden people.
Oh God.
Five people that had one time known the beauty of services like today. And like last night, and like every night we've had. Like last Sunday morning, Brother Rutledge mentioned it, and somehow it just exploded in my heart. I remembered the burden, the unction I preached on the last Sunday morning. I looked around for faces that heard me last Sunday morning, and I thought, they're not here today. And I thought, maybe they're lost. Maybe I'll never preach to them again. Maybe Brother Rutledge will never get the opportunity to shake their hand and tell them how glad he was to have them in church, and that they were here so they could resist the preaching, that they wouldn't have to, you know, they could show us all they were professional enough, they don't have to go to the altar. Nobody has to go to the altar anymore. You can preach a message, you can preach a tear jerker, you can tell all the stories you want to. People don't get stirred up.
Oh,
once in a while, God breaks through that old barrier and somebody will come running to the altar, but Not like it was 7 years ago. Not like it was 12 years ago when I first went out for my first evangelistic meeting. The first night I preached out of a text that could hardly be evangelistic. Romans 8 and 1, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I quoted it and preached and walked it out for about 15 minutes and gave the altar call, and five grown people came running to the altar to pray. One of them was a backslid preacher. Prayed through that night. Praise God. My first night on the evangelistic field, five people prayed through the Holy Ghost. I preached, seen adults get up and run to the altar. Young people couldn't resist it. I've seen every sinner in the house come to the altar. And those who came to the altar get the Holy Ghost and go out and get somebody else and bring them to the altar. And I looked over this congregation today and I thought, well, maybe some of these that I preached to in these 2 weeks are going to be lost.
Oh God.
I'm not talking about lost for a day, lost for 24 hours, not lost for a week, not lost for a month, not lost for a year, lost for a lifetime, but lost for eternity. I keep telling you that every man who resists God's love and mercy and the sacrifice He gave and refuses to submit to God's plan is going to be tormented forever, day and night, in the presence of the Lord and His holy angels.
Right. Praise the Lord. Oh,
amen. In a pit of flame where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not.
Right.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want you to take this service today and use it for your glory. Let what I preach, let what I say somehow be moving in the hearts of men, convict their souls, their lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 15th chapter of St. Luke. And I want to read from the 4th verse through the 7th verse. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?
Yes.
And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing.
Uh-huh.
And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.
Uh-huh.
I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth,
right,
more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance.
Right.
Well, the Merle Ewing's wife, Sister Joan, wrote a song so much from the heart of a pastor. You can tell it if you listen to him sing it. What are you searching for, weary shepherd? You must have lost your whole flock of sheep. To make you search through the long, weary night, through low valleys and up mountains steep. How long will you search, weary shepherd? When will this long night be done? You must be searching for many, at least 100. The shepherd said, no, I'm just looking for one. I'm just looking for one.
Praise God.
I'm going to preach, one sheep is lost.
Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just one. Yes. Just one.
That's all. Hallelujah. Go on. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Just one. I want you to pray with me. I need your help today. I can preach with a sore throat and hoarseness, but it's hard to preach with a broken heart. You just think about one soul. One soul. I talked about millions last night. I talked about millions dying. 5 million population in Cambodia when communists took over. 2 million of them are in the bone yard today. But today I'm just talking about one. I'm not talking about the masses of China. I'm not talking about the billions of the world. I'm talking about just one. It don't matter to me who that one is. How he's dressed. what they look like, how old they are, where they came from. If they're lost, that's what I'm talking about.
My Lord.
You know, I never thought much about being lost, and I've had to look for lost people, but I looked for a young lady that was lost one time, and I'll never forget just how that really was. But one day I was just thinking, and I got to thinking about one time, my younger brother and myself. You know, there's nothing in the world that's any tenderer than a mother's heart unless it's a God that knew no sin.
That's God, I see.
Amen.
That's right.
But you take a mama's youngin' away from her just for a few minutes and don't let her know where they are and how to find them. And you've got some concern on your hands.
That's right.
Well, it was all right for Jerry and myself to go across the road to the store to play with my friend Sonny. But down across the pasture, they built a new highway there when we were just kids, and they dug an old hole. And for a while we could go down and play, but springs had begun to fill that thing up, and finally it had filled it all the way to the top. Before it ever got full, I went with my older brother down there, and we'd found an old net and throw it in the water, and every day we'd go down and look at that old net. Never would have caught a fish. We didn't know the difference, but we had fun. One day, standing down on an old log, down, oh, 20, I guess 15 feet below the bank, my brother said, "James, I dare you to run up to the top of the bank and holler at Roy," my brother-in-law that lived right there, just 40 yards. "I dare you to run up there and holler and tell him I'm drowning." I was just a kid, and I didn't think anything about it. And I ran up to the top of the old hole, and I just hollered, "Roy, Charles is drowning." Roy just come running hard as he could go, and just as he got there, Charles jumped up and said, "Ha, ha, ha." And Roy didn't look at Charles and think, you know, that's funny. He looked at me and said, "Boy, don't ever do that." He said, "Someday somebody may really be drowning down here, and you'll holler, and I'll think you're playing." But that old hole got real deep, and everybody said it didn't have a bottom in it. I knew it did because I used to play down there. But all the old folks, you know, they said, "Man, that thing don't have a bottom. Don't go near it." We was all pretty scared of it. If Dad was with us, we could go over. I learned how to swim in it. But don't ever go near it when there's no adults around. So we was over in the old storeroom, the feed room of the store, playing, me and Jerry and Sonny. Heard some young folks out front, and we went out there, and they got on their cut-off blue jeans, four of them, two boys and two girls, and they fixed to go down the old hole and go swimming. We didn't think much about it. We just went on. Now, those of you that just came on last Sunday, you'll think, well, he's on the same subject. No, I'm on that subject lost today.
Oh,
amen. We decided to go down. There were three boys, I take it back. Two Arsenal brothers, and R.S. Newman, Edna Lee Newman, and Carolyn Lisman. They are all going to the hole to swim. We didn't think anything about telling Mama where we was going, telling Ms. Lisman where we was going. We just decided to go along. We crawled through the fence. My sister didn't spot us when we went past her house. My brother-in-law didn't see us. None of the kids ran in and said, "James and Jerry's going down to the hole." Nobody said anything. We just strolled across there, went over, and there's an old dump used to be there. We just walked over to old Blue, sitting over there on that dump, his fishing poles, his fishing. We were all sitting there, and he was watching what was going on. I was sitting down there waiting on those old boys to hit that water and go swimming. I like to watch them strong arms pull that water and take across that water. And the girls sat down on the bank, began to dangle their feet, and we stood back a little ways away from it. R.S. and the older Arsenal boy dove off in that water, played around a little while, and then across they started. And old George was hanging on to a root there out of the water, blue with the fishing. We were standing there watching. Man, everybody could swim. Anybody 16 years old could swim in water. And all of a sudden, one of those boys started thrashing that water. And I was terrified. And literally, I guess I was petrified. I couldn't move. I couldn't do nothing. Those girls were screaming. And my brother-in-law was on the back porch and saw it. For a long time, he thought we were playing. I can still see Blue as he raised up and took his fishing pole. Now, this may be funny to you, but this old man was trying his best. It was his effort to save somebody that was fixing to be lost.
He raised up and threw that fishing pole as hard as he could and screamed and said, hit him with that pole, thinking that R.S. might take that pole and knock that boy on the head. He didn't know any other way to do, any other thing to try. My brother-in-law came running. I can still see him when he came through the fence and came running across the path, pulling at his wedding to poop, jumping like this, just as hard as he could go. Dove in the water in his khakis and swam the width of that pond. By the time he got there, the water was still. R.S. had made it to the other bank. Edna Lee had run to the road and stopped the telephone truck, and the telephone man had radioed back to town, and the rescue units are coming out there. Now, all this is taking place in a matter of just a few minutes, and I'm still just standing there. My victim's legs are dragging under my feet. I got on my brother's pants and his belt, too, and I got that thing just as tight as it'll go, and now I stand just terrified. A boy has just disappeared in that water. And I stood there, and I hadn't moved, and I know I hadn't. Old Jerry, just a little dark and flaky, little kid standing by me, just standing, just gone. I want you to know, friend, that's the way all of us are. When you realize you've just lost somebody that you could have won to God. When you realize they just slipped beyond the grasp of your hand. When you know they've just gone beyond that gulf, and you cannot bring them back, and you cannot go to them.
That's right. My God.
And I stood there, screaming and hollering and carrying on, and all of a sudden I heard, and out in the country, you know, here in Pine Bluff, you don't think much about it, but in the country, anytime you ever seen anything with a light flashing or ever heard a siren, everybody went where it was. And all of a sudden, appears from the stillness of that countryside, brother, all the screams now rising up, but here it comes. And I'm still just standing there. But that ambulance, rescue unit, and the sheriff's patrols had to pass right by that little old house over there. Mama was fidgeting around there, doing her dishes and cleaning up the house and taking care of the clothes. And all of a sudden she hears that siren. Now I want to get to your heart today if I can. She didn't know where her boys were right at that minute. They were supposed to be at that store. But that siren just stopped down yonder at the old hole. She saw cars are flying down the road, and here come a sheriff's car. And I was still standing there when I heard it. They were out there in the boat out in the water. And I was just standing like this. Froze still. And I heard somebody, "My boys! My boys!" When she had looked down across the pasture and saw all those cars ganged up at the fence and all those men, all those people out in there around that old hole, the first thing she thought about, there was maybe 40 boys that lived in that whole area around there somewhere, but she only knew two of them that were gone. And I want you to know that means something, and you can criticize, but friend, let me tell you, you'd feel the same way if two of your little tow-headed young'uns were away from the house and you didn't know where they were. And I didn't realize I was lost, but my mama knew that boy's lost. My boys are lost, and I've got to find them. And she came through the fence, and she wasn't worried about it. If she had on her Sunday go to meet and dress, that wasn't it. It's not a matter of getting dressed and getting on the finest shoes you got. Go barefooted and go with your hair unfixed, but go where you need to find your boy. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's desperate today that somebody realizes that we've got folks that are lost. Lost. I turned around. That's the only thing that woke me up. I turned around. You couldn't just guys or cry. And here she comes. She's like a mad woman. Walking across there. There was an old bar pit between me and her. It was covered with old scum. And it was thorn trees around it. And thorns and that thing. She never splashed up. She didn't walk around it. She walked right through that old bar pit. And right over there, "My boys! My boys!" And I looked at her. And I said, "Mama, we'll be all right." And she came over to where we were. She didn't say hello to anybody, any neighbor. She came to her boys and she put her arms around us. And she held us up close to her. That's been a long time ago.
And one day I was thinking about it, and I thought, Lord, if we folks would just get that desperate about it, when somebody is lost. But oh, friend, if you knew how terrible it is that you're lost out there today, and if you just know that somebody is searching for you, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is looking for you, and He'd give His life for you. He'd give everything He's got for you just to save you and not let you be lost.
Lord.
You know what the beautiful thing about that is?
Hallelujah.
I was alive.
Uh-huh.
Jerry was alive.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't one of us. There she stood. We were both dry.
Uh-huh.
And there she stood holding us.
Praise God. That's good.
In a little while, though, another car pulled up to that fence. And a woman got out, crawled it through just like the other woman whose boy was lost. She came walking across there. She watched that boat as it moved around out there in the water. She saw the pulling on that old nylon rope. And she knew what they were doing. She had already heard your oldest son. Let me show you what's happened. Two shepherds and two sheep. The shepherd is searching for the sheep that's lost. Here's the good thing. The shepherd who makes it to the sheep in time, he beats the wolf to the sheep. He beats death to the sheep and saves the sheep. And you know what he does? He lifts it up, puts it on his own shoulder, and rejoicing, he goes home with it. Hallelujah. But I want you to know, what about the shepherd who loses the race? What about the one that's searching for the lost who loses the race? The Bible said in the 3rd chapter of Amos, the scripture tells me, it said it's like a shepherd who taketh out of the mouth of the lion a leg or a piece of an ear.
Oh God. My Lord.
That woman came across that pasture and stood there until finally somebody begged her to go away. They walked her away until they could get that body in that boat and bring it over to the bank. And I stood there as my daddy laid that boy on his belly, and he would pull him, and the doctor gave him instruction. My dad gave him artificial respiration. He'd push him and pump him and pull him, and there was no life. There was no life. And finally that mother came, and she wouldn't stand back any longer. And she came, and she watched my dad as he made every effort to revive that boy. And she talked to the doctor, will he be all right? And the doctor would try to give her some consolation.
Oh,
finally, Mr. Arnie Arsenal finally made it from work 25 miles away, and he walked up beside his wife, and there they stood, and they wept together. Brother Rutledge, I want you to know, friend, I followed fellows down the aisle. That's the truth. I followed them down the aisle, and they laid them out of state. Yeah. And I knew this is it. You can't bring them back. Yeah. It's all over because we've lost them. But I want you to know, you don't have to be dead to be lost. There are people that are beyond the call of God today. They cannot be touched with the Spirit of God. And somehow, they must be reached. But what if we cannot reach them? What if I can't reach them? What if my preaching is repulsive to them? What if the devil distorts what I'm saying today? What if he makes it so elementary that they don't understand what I'm saying? Or if he makes it so complicated that they don't understand what I'm saying?
Oh, God.
And they leave here today with the thing that came in within their heart still in there, that enmity against God. And they cannot control it. And they're not right with God. And they leave today and we never save them.
Oh, God.
That's what I'm talking about. You see, the shepherd's going out there and he'd go over the roughest terrain. He'd go through the worst weather. It doesn't matter to him. He's got a sheep lost. And you who are lost in this house today, you're who I'm talking about. You're that sheep. You know what the shepherd will do? He'll suffer. He'll break his heart when he sees that piece of an ear hanging out of the mouth of that old lion.
Oh, God.
But he'll get other sheep. What about you? You can't get another shepherd, another Savior.
That's right.
You can't be found after you're absolutely, ultimately lost.
Oh, God.
If God talks to your heart today in the least, I'd respond to Him.
That's right.
And it's so easy anymore for a fella to take his handkerchief and wipe away his tears from from his eyes and conviction from his soul. It seems so easy anymore to do it, but you can't wipe away eternity with a fragrance of your handkerchief. You cannot wipe away the reality of eternity just by saying, well, this is Sunday morning. I want you to know that eternity is going to be a long time, and for every lost man, there's going to be some torment there. Put your heels in the sand and say, no, not me, preacher, not me today. This is Sunday. I'm not going to get right with God today. All I'm telling you is that we're racing the wolf. We're racing the wolf. If the wolf beats us to you, you've had it.
That's right.
Oh, we'll bring the remains, they say. We'll talk about it. Some churches preach them into glory. If they'd even attended Sunday school in the last year. But I want you to know we can't do that.
No.
You got to repent, get baptized in Jesus' name, for the remission of sins, be filled with the Holy Ghost. You got to live for God. You got to live close and clean.
Right.
Slipshod, half-hearted living is not going to do it. I ought not to tell you that, but I want you to know, don't be lost when you leave this house today. And if you are, I want my hands to be clean of your blood. I want to say, God, I did everything I could to tell them what they ought to do to be saved. Hallelujah. Don't stand and point your finger in my face and say you didn't tell me. You may say you told me too much, but you're not going to say I didn't tell you enough, because I want you to know if you're lost, you're lost because you want to be lost. You resist the effort of the shepherd to save you. If that shepherd can just make it, come to me. Oh, lovely. If that shepherd can just make it. You see, here he is climbing up mountain, and he hears the roaring of the lion.
Oh, God.
And he knows that that lion has spotted or smelled his lamb. And he loves that lamb more than that lion loves him. And he falls down. His knees are bloody. His hands are bloody. His face is clawed. He's been through the briars and the thorns. He's been through some rocky places. He's been through some bad places. And all of a sudden, when the lion is not roaring, he hears the bleating of the sheep. And he knows, I'm close. I'm gonna get him. Unable to walk. The ground is so rough. But crawling those last few steps, he sees the pit. And he sees the lion. And he thinks, if I can just make it to the brink of the pit, I'll give my life for that sheep. And there he is facing the line. And I want you to know that's what's happened here today. The Lord found the sheep. Hallelujah. Found them in time. What I'm worried about now is he's reaching down in that pit. The line's already defeated now. God's got the convicting power in this service. And the shepherd reaches down for you to stay away and said, no, don't save me out of here. I like it here. Now, is that what you're going to say? Or are you going to say, good shepherd, reach way down here and lift me up? Huh? Hallelujah! I'm glad you beat the line. Have you ever seen anybody lost? Forever? Have you ever heard the cries of somebody who was going down for the last time? I'm not talking about water. I'm talking about life going down for the last time. Have you ever heard their cries? Have you ever seen them when they tried to reach God and God wouldn't hear them anymore? Have you seen them when God reached down in their pit and they wouldn't respond to His love? And then when they tried to get out of the pit, they couldn't get out. Have you ever seen it? Or have you been so sheltered all your life that all you've seen is the folks bound for glory and you've never seen anybody that was going to rise in the pit of flame the rest of their life? Oh, my God. I'm so glad that somebody told me that I was lost and I got saved. But I'm telling you today, I feel something in my heart that Jesus is reaching out with all the love of the ages to reach one soul. Hallelujah. I know we could jump up and down if the altar's filled up, but what about just one? What about just one? What are you searching for, weary shepherd? You must have lost your whole flock of sheep to make you search through the long, weary night, through low valleys and up mountains steep. How long will you search, weary shepherd? When will this long night be done? You must be searching for many, at least 100. The shepherd said, no, I'm bloody and scratched and tired. Just for one. I'm just looking for one. Oh, hallelujah. Bow your heads, will you? If my Lord loved me enough to let the wellsprings of my heart produce tears, to roll down my face and shine on my cheeks, I would say, Lord, I'm coming home. You found me, Jesus, before the lion got to me. You found me before the destroyer ever got to me. And now, I'm coming home. Lay me on your shoulder, Jesus. Bear me out of this rocky place. Take me home where I belong. I want to go home.